Praise the Lord, everyone. It's wonderful to be here tonight. It's wonderful to have this opportunity to worship the Lord, to sing His praises, and to study His Word. Before we do anything tonight, we're going to pray. I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here. And I pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here today. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be poured out. I pray, O God, that we would be in unity with Thy will. I pray, O God, that we would feel Thy presence and know that Thou art right here with us. For Thou hast promised, wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. And we know that Thou art here tonight. We thank Thee for Thy promise. And we pray, O God, that Thou inspire us as we sing unto Thee to truly give Thee our hearts. Preside over this entire service, we pray, and let Thy perfect will be done, we ask. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we're going to start with number 13 tonight. Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and after Thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still, have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. The potter,
we need the Lord to have His way. Praise the Lord. And we need the Lord to make us what we ought to be. So why don't we go to number 47 and sing that chorus right now. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. And you know, it is an incredible thing the way the Lord can take a person and change them, mold them, shape them, and turn them into something good. You know, we all have our past, but thank the Lord we've been washed in His blood and we've been cleansed of our old ways, our old sins. And why don't we go to number 5 in the chorus book and sing Something Beautiful, Something Good.
Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. But He made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to but He made something very beautiful of my life. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God, and He does change us. And I tell you, once Jesus comes into our hearts, we're never the same anymore. So why don't we find our melodies of praise hymnals and sing number 95 tonight, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray, since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure, since Jesus came into my heart. And the dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. There's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. And the gates of the city beyond I can see, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Thank you. when you have Jesus in your heart, we grow to be a little more like Him each and every day. And that's what we should all desire, to be like the Lord as much as we can be, as much as possible. So why don't we go to number 42 and sing, "Oh, to be like Thee." Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I am so thankful to know that we are being led by His Spirit. We're being led by the Lord Jesus Himself. And that's what happens when you submit your life to Him. He will lead you. And why don't we go to number 178 and sing, "Where He Leads, I'll Follow." Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see, He the great example is and pattern for me.
Jesus has shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He the great example is and pattern for me. To his loving words common to me, weary heaven laden, sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure, lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Jesus every day. Where he leads, I follow, follow all the way. Oh, where he leads, I follow, follow Jesus every day. Praise the Lord.
People might ask sometimes, how can I know I'm going the right way? Well, just follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. And if you don't know where to find him, start in his word. Praise the Lord. He will meet you on the pages of that book. Just follow the Lord Jesus and you'll be all right. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee for thy many abundant blessings that thou hast given us, for thy love and thy care towards us, for thy mercy and thy grace. We know we would be completely helpless and lost without thee, and we thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done for us. We pray, O God, that thou hast continued to lead us, guide us, and direct us in all things. Give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the cause of thy name. For we know that these funds belong to thee. And I ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we turn things over to Shirley for the Bible study. And I think it would be great to go to number 19 and sing Deeper, Deeper. You know, it's wonderful to get deeper and deeper into the Word of God. And it's kind of funny in a way. I was looking up songs, I think it was actually just today. And there's a song, a hymn called Deeper.
Yeah.
And then there's another one called Deeper, Deeper. And then there's another one called Deeper Yet. But we're going to sing Deeper, Deeper tonight, number 19. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, may he let me go. Higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Oh, deeper yet I pray, deeper, deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect will. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, precious Holy Word. Deeper, deeper, though it cost our trials, deeper let me go. Rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, precious Holy Word. Deeper, higher every day in Jesus, till all conflict rest, finds me conqueror and in His image perfected at last. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, blessed Lord, in Thy precious Holy Word. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, rise and blessed Lord, in Thy precious Holy Word. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And that's what we want. Each and every time we open His book, to go deeper and deeper into the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley and see what she has to say tonight.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, the only way to go is deeper. You know, there's always more to God. And praise the Lord, it's no time to have shallow roots, that's for sure. It's, you know, it seems like a lot of those songs tonight have that theme, you know, to, you know, be what He wants us to be and to get deeper and you know, to be established in Him. We sure do need Him. We sure do need Him. He's certainly the one that takes our lives and forms us and shapes us. We're so lost without Him. Just completely lost. And we live in a world where people are wandering around like that, not knowing that they're just wandering, that they're away from God. And, you know, they need hope. They need help. They need a deliverer. Yet so many people seem to think that they're okay. Oh my, what a position to be in. But here we are tonight, and we have much hope. We have the living Word of God. We have His presence that comes down and ministers to us. And oh, we are blessed. We're blessed to be able to sit here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's just pray here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, that we can come before Thee, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You for Your Word. We know that it's forever settled in heaven, Lord. Oh, God, we know that You are God, that you change not, O Lord, and God, what you have written. O God, it's not for just one moment, but Lord, it stands the test of time. O God, and it prevails, O Lord, and God, it will stand, O Lord, regardless of what men and women do, Lord. O God, and what they think, and what they preach, and what they profess. O God, we just ask that you would help us, O Lord, to be in that position, Lord, where, O Lord, we can dig deep, O Lord, where we can have roots that go down to you, Lord Jesus, to the rock Christ Jesus. O God, and I just pray that you give us, O Lord, what we have need of tonight. O God, that you would mold us and shape us, turn us around, O God, and help us, O Lord, to be more like you, Jesus. Oh, to be like thee, Lord. O God, that it would be a cry of our heart. Oh God, that you'd help us here tonight, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that, oh God, there would be no strong man able to prevail, Lord, but only thy presence and only thy ways and only thy precepts, oh God. But, oh Lord, I pray, oh God, that you'd bind and break any contrary spirit, oh Lord, anything that would oppose itself against thee and thy word, Lord, as we come to you, Jesus. Oh God, that you'd minister to our hearts. Oh God, that you give us what we have need of, Lord. Oh God, that you pour out of your spirit. Oh Lord, for we need your spirit, Lord. Oh God, we need you to guide us, direct us, reformat us, God. Oh God, speak to our hearts, oh God. And oh Lord, that the strong man be bound in everything, oh Lord, that opposes thee. Oh God, that thy word prevail, Lord. Work in us tonight, Lord Jesus. I just pray, oh God, oh Lord, that this service would be an inspiration, Lord, to others. Oh God, that you would help those that are seeking, Lord. Oh God, that they would find you, Lord. Oh God, the truth would minister to their hearts, oh Lord God. And oh Lord, you'd help those that are far from you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we come to you, Lord. We believe you, Jesus. Oh God, have your way in our hearts, in our lives. Mold and shape us, Lord. We give this all to you in Jesus' name. And come before thee, Lord, believing that you are here, that you're going to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. He's so good to us. Oh, praise the Lord. It's good to see you, Barb. We missed you, all these services. It's good to see everyone, actually. Everyone that's here. It's beautiful. Praise the Lord. And everybody online, those that will listen to this someday, we just... so glad for these opportunities and for each and every one of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message the House of Prayer. The House of Prayer. And as we begin here tonight, let's go to Matthew, the 21st chapter here to start here tonight. And we'll talk about that house of prayer, praise the Lord, that the Lord Jesus has established, praise God. As we look at this chapter, we just see that there's a very moving moment here as people seem to somehow have it in their heart to give praise to the Lord Jesus. It doesn't seem like there were many moments like this at all. He was pretty well rejected throughout his whole ministry, so it seems. But here it is. It's coming nigh to the time of the Passover. It's coming nigh to the time of the crucifixion and all those things are at hand. And here it was, Jesus fulfilling scripture, of course. He told two of his disciples, it tells us in verse 2, to go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And then he told them, and if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. While this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. And they brought that ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And here it was, it tells us in the 8th verse that a very great multitude, he was swarmed with people at this moment, a great multitude, a very great multitude, spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of God, or excuse me, Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. What a moment. And like I said, there weren't many like this at all, where they gave their hearts to the Lord, so it seemed, and where they were actually worshiping him, saying, Hosanna, save now, crying out and giving him the glory that was due his name, giving him honor, spreading out their garments as a king was coming in to Jerusalem and somehow realizing it. It tells us here, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Somehow at this moment there was an understanding, just something that moved the people. And of course, it tells us in another gospel, Luke, actually, that as they were crying out and worshiping him and giving him the praise and glory that he so deserved, that again, the religious people, there were some that were having a fit and telling him to, tell his disciples to be quiet, tell them to be quiet. And what Jesus said there in the 19th chapter of Luke, if these should hold their peace, even the very stones would cry out. If these should hold their peace. Oh, he was due the glory, the praise. He was due their worship, that homage that they gave him. It was a long time coming. But suddenly, something was in their heart, and they were moved to do so. And of course, as some were asking, who is this? The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And it's just interesting because, I have a feeling that many of them were, as they were looking for somebody to deliver them from the Romans, that they had expectation that he was going to go to the palace and overthrow Herod. But instead, Jesus took the other road. He took the other road that led to the temple. And wow, when he got into the temple, it was not a pretty sight, because there in the place that was to be revered and respected, the house of the Lord, in those days, the temple, they were selling things. They were selling things, and not only, it was very dishonest, they insisted upon them using temple money, because they said the regular coinage had Caesar's image on it, and that wasn't appropriate to use in the temple, so they were exchanging that money at a price, at their expense, really, so that they would have to use temple money to buy things to be given as a sacrifice. And how pathetic it was. Jesus saw them there. He saw them there. And I'm sure it rose up in his heart. And so often it's within us, we see what's going on in this world. We see the actions of people. We hear these disgusting things. And, we get little glimpses of what's inside. And, we see the way people dress and how they're all pierced and, with tattoos covering their bodies many times, and sometimes so hard to bear. But here's Jesus, the Son of God. He's in the temple, and it obviously hit him very hard as he saw what was going on, and he knew the intents in their heart and how they were even using the common people to their advantage. And so he went into the temple, the temple of God, at that point, and he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers. He, none of it, none of it, none of it. and the seats of them that sold doves. Oh my, oh, it probably looked like something else, but these things ought not to be. They didn't belong in the house of the Lord. They should never have been there. And he was angry. He was upset at their action, at their actions. And he cast them out. He threw it all down. And he said unto them, he quoted from Isaiah 56, saying, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Oh, yes. And we see what has happened in our own world today. I'll tell you what, it's not easy to bear, is it? When you know, might live at a distance and try to find a place that you might worship, and you find all kinds of disgusting things going on in what is supposed to be a place that's given to God. Oh, yes, we know. We know quite a bit of bits and pieces, you know. It's not just selling or playing bingo and perhaps beer and all of that sort of thing. It goes beyond that. All these disgusting things that happen in a place that's supposed to be holy and dedicated to Almighty God. Oh, yes, you might see all kinds of entertainment. Oh, my, you might see all kinds of selling going on. They might have bazaars. They might have a shop. Oh, my, they might have karate lessons going on or yoga or something else. And, you know, people that stand up on a stage, a huge stage with all kinds of lights. And maybe not even a podium, maybe not even a place to rest a Bible. Yes, men that stand up there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, wolves in sheep clothing, so to speak, pretending, hypocrites, that they are the servants of the Lord, reading from false versions of the Bible, maybe giving a social gospel, maybe not even mentioning the name of the Lord Jesus, standing there as they had authority to do so, they thought. But what a reproach. What a horrendous thing. In this day and age, you know, I was thinking as I was preparing this about the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. I've been there, and I'll tell you what, there's that place where all the elite go to. You know, if there's anything of significance, you know, that's where they all go. That's, you know, where they all, you know, attend and pretend to worship the Lord. I'll tell you what, not a very nice place. There's gargoyles all over the outside of the building, ugly little creeping things all over it, and they boast about it. I mean, if you look up the National Cathedral online, that's, you know, they bring it out right away, and oh boy, there's all these grotesque things, and you know, one that they're very proud of is Darth Vader. And, you know, they'll boast about it. You know, they say the force is with us. Tell you what, it's nothing but a den of iniquity. Oh, it's nothing but a heathen place of worship, a place of bondage, a place of witchcraft. That's all it is. And they even have a shop where you can go and buy your own little gargoyle or whatever you want, your own Darth Vader. Tell you what a shame and reproach for this capital city, yes, to call itself the National Cathedral. But that's not the only place. We have all these mega churches in the land, and while they, you know, they have all those pretenders that come there and make a speech. I suppose choirs that sing and you know, people that act in one way or the other. But I'll tell you what, it's a reproach and a shame. And it brings great shame to the kingdom of God. Oh, it's nothing to glory in at all. You know, it's nothing, oh boy, to be proud of. Huge auditoriums. Many, many people going there and often even charging. Yeah, if you want to sit in the front, you're going to probably have to pay a price. They might let you in the back, possibly for free. But otherwise, maybe it's priced. And, you know, they might have cafeterias, they might have shops, you know, they might have a hotel. You know, there's all these goings on. in these places that are supposed to be places of worship. But what did Jesus say? It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. Oh yes, the church is supposed to be a place where people find God. Yes, this is supposed to be a place where people can come down, be convicted of their sins, and kneel before Almighty God and get right. It's a place where we prepare for heaven. Oh yes, and where we're edified, and oh, where we can meet with God, where we can raise holy hands without wrath and doubting and draw nigh to God. It's a place where we can be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what it's supposed to be. But I'll tell you what, so often it's become a den of thieves. Yes, selling things, buying things. Oh yes, you know, probably bazaars and God only knows what else. You know, Halloween parties, you know, Easter egg hunts, you know, all the things that go on in these so-called places of worship. What a shame. What a reproach. Oh, what a counterfeit. Oh, not good at all. And yet there's more going on in this world. Let's just look at Isaiah 56 here just for a moment, where the scripture that Jesus was quoting from here. We could just go to that chapter here. Here he's talking about what was to be called the house of prayer. And it tells us here, oh, let's look at, I guess it would hurt to start from the beginning here. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. See, this is prophetic, and you know, God knew. He knew what had been foreordained. He knew that he was going to put on flesh and come to this world to seek and to save those that are lost. And how beautiful, for my salvation is near to come, my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Those that embrace the word of God, those that strive to please the Lord, do the things that are acceptable in the sight of the Lord, keeping his commandments. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls, a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Oh, what a wonderful thing is. You know, we may be forsaken by sons and daughters, by mother and father, by loved ones of all sorts. We may be forsaken by the world, but there is something greater than that, because when we come to the Lord, when we come to him in repentance and in faith, oh yes, when we go down in those waters of baptism for the remission of our sins, he puts something upon us. When he seals us with the Holy Ghost, he gives us an everlasting name. He makes us his own. He makes us his own sons and daughters. The privileges that his children have when they inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Oh, what a wonderful thing. It's an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. There is nothing that can do that can separate us from the love of Christ. And it says, also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taking hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we all know that gathering that he's talking about was a gathering unto Christ. And these days, so much is misconstrued, so much is misrepresented. I'm going to go to Ephesians, the first chapter, but first, just want to mention, very recently in Jerusalem, actually, there were 130 individuals. They were a medley of Christians, Jews, and Muslims that gathered together to try to fulfill this scripture here from Isaiah 56. Just thinking, you know, that they could all do this and you join hands and you know that the Lord would honor it, and thinking that they're fulfilling scripture. But again, how misconstrued, how mistaken, you know. Oh my, they gathered together at the Tander Institute for the Ecumenical Studios, or Studies, I believe. And, you know, just thinking by holding hands with one another, praying together, the Lord would honor it, and they're bringing it all to pass. And, you know, they're looking for their Messiah, thinking he's going to be coming soon, even this year, quite possibly in their minds. Doing all of this, having, a temple ready to put together, all prefab, thinking, you know, one of these days soon we're going to have that capacity and that ability. It's all going to come to pass. Oh, but so mistaken. No. Oh, I'm sorry. Those Jewish people, the Lord Jesus came to them. He came to his own. And, oh, largely, very, very largely, they rejected him. Yes, he came in his Father's name, and they received him not. But Jesus said very clearly, another would come in his own name, and him they would receive. Oh, yes, the Lord Jesus said it. But there's so many things that are not understood, because, oh my, the Lord did put together a house of prayer for all people. He did make a way for all people to come together in Christ. In Jesus Christ. If we look at Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 9, it explains, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Oh, yes, the gathering was in Christ Jesus. He was gathering the people together. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God purposing it particularly and distinctly, just exactly, putting it together, and we, as his children, have obtained an inheritance. Oh, yes, a wonderful inheritance in Christ Jesus that will be given to those that are faithful in Christ Jesus, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, what a wonderful thing. It tells us, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, yes, that was a fulfillment of the gathering together of people, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Oh, yes, that wonderful seal of the Holy Ghost, that's the down payment of our eternal inheritance that the Lord has reserved for us in heaven. That's the down payment. That's the price that he paid, that one day we can show that inheritance, that seal that is upon us, that spirit, a promise which has been given us, that will bring us into that place where the redeemed will be, all that place in heaven where we'll be the participants or the precipitators or the ones, the inheritors of that earnest money. Oh yes, of that price that Jesus paid for us. What a wonderful thing that he did for us. What a wonderful thing that he paid that full price that we might be his children. Oh yes, that we might be part of the temple that he has put together. For you see, there was an earthly temple during that other period, that other dispensation. But now the people of God are the temple of God. Oh yes, we are the temple of the living God, and we can read that clearly. It tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Oh, it's been clear to us. Tells us in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price." Oh, yes, that dear price of the Lord's blood. "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Oh, yes, we come to God. We give him our life. And it therefore belongs to God. We're not our own. We have been purchased with his blood. And we're here to give him praise and glory. We're here to live with him. Therefore, the things that we do, both in our body and in our spirit, are all to glorify God. Because we are God's. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But Jesus, as he was on earth, began to foretell, oh yes, of his plan and his purpose. We see much of that in the book of John. There's the woman at the well there in the 4th chapter of the book of John. And of course, she was a Samaritan woman. It marveled that he was talking to her, but oh, the Lord knew what he was doing. And, you know, the woman had enough sense in verse 19 to realize that Jesus was not ordinary. She could see that right away, whereas his own people, the Jewish people, were blind to that reality. Or, you know, some thought that, well, maybe he was, you know, a prophet or, you know, some good man, but, you know, very few of them realized who he really was. But she had enough sense to perceive anyway that he was, you know, out of the ordinary. He was a prophet. And verse 20 says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." Jesus began to tell her. He said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." But then he said, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Oh, yes. And then he said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." That's the only way to approach God, in spirit and in truth, as he begins to give us that insight knowledge, as he begins to talk to our hearts, when he begins to reveal himself to us. And it was a beautiful thing. This woman, the Samaritan woman, began to see more and more as the Lord Jesus was talking to her. She said to him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, the Anointed One. When he come, he will tell us all things." And here it was, Jesus told her. He saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. Oh, he's revealing himself to the Samaritan woman. And I'll tell you what, they're marveling. When the disciples got back, they marveled that he was talking with this Samaritan woman. They didn't say it out loud, you know, what seekest thou or why talkest thou with her? But Jesus knew their thoughts. He could always tell. And that woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Oh, isn't that amazing? You know, the Lord reveals himself to whom he desires to reveal himself to. It's you know, he doesn't look at somebody because they're high up in authority or they got lots of money or, you know, whatever, esteem or whatever. Oh, that's not what the Lord looks at. Oh, there's something else that he looks at. He's looking for a people that will surrender their lives, their hearts to him, and worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, yes. With all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind, with all the strength that will come to him in obedience and love and esteem his word, acknowledging him in all their ways. That's what the Lord is looking for. And there's much that he began to tell as he walked this earth. You know, in the 10th chapter of John, he was telling how that he was the good shepherd, and that he was the door, the only door by which any man or woman could enter by. He said that all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Oh, yes, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, yes, he was coming forth to bring forth a church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it might be holy and without blemish. That's what he came to bring forth. And he goes on to tell, you know, how, you know, that he's a good shepherd and that he's going to give his life for the sheep. And he talks about the hireling that, you know, pretends, that stands there to fleece the people. Oh, yes, so many that we have in the pulpits of churches today. But he says, he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. I'll tell you what, I dare not preach anything that's not in the Word of God. You know, this is what will save our souls. We can't come up another way. We can't make pretense. We can't, you know, alter this Word. We can't add to this Word. It's written, and it's forever settled in heaven, and there's no changing it. But so often, people try to change it, don't they? They preach another gospel. Oh, yes, they preach another Christ. Oh, yeah, they substituted all kinds of things, and they brought all kinds of heathen practices into their worship, into their sanctuaries, abominations that the Lord despises and hates. Oh, they're just hirelings. And they see, oh, you know, perhaps the danger coming, and don't even tell the people. Or, you know, and I've heard, oh yes, I've heard it said, men who know truth and refuse to preach it, people in Pentecostal churches even, who know truth and refuse to preach it because they're worried about what the organization would think or what the people would think. And yeah, they might not get their Christmas bonuses if they dare say it. Oh yes, what is that? I'm afraid that's a hireling. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, boy. And we better not do that. We better not believe that. We better not be like that. Oh, yes. It says, a hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I'll tell you what, when we stand before God, it doesn't matter what the board of directors says. It doesn't matter what that other version of the Bible says if it's not right on. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what the Word of God says and what God has declared. That's what's going to matter. We're going to stand before God. We're not going to stand before a church board and give an account of our life. We're going to stand before God. We better be up to His precepts and His Word. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he said, oh, yes. Oh, he said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Oh, yes. People, oh yes, we get to heaven. It's not going to be one race or one gender or one class of people by any means. It's not going to be of that. Oh no, that everlasting gospel, as we're told in the 14th chapter of Revelation, is to preach unto all them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, to every kindred, to every tongue, and to every people. Yes, the message goes out to all people to fear God and give Him glory. Yes, to repent, to turn around, to get right with God. For the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Yes, that's the message, to repent, to turn around, to give your life to God. Thank God. God is no respecter of persons. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what our family background is, you know, what our nationality is, what our gender is. Praise the Lord. That gospel goes out to whosoever will come to the water. Whosoever will hear. Yes, that gospel goes out. And the Lord had other sheep that He was going to bring into the fold that would hear His voice. And there was going to be one fold. Oh yes, it's not going to be a mix. You know, I tell you what, these Jewish people, they're not in the fold if they don't embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior. Oh no, and I'll tell you what, we better not fool around with this sort of thing. You know, you can't just say all the religions can mingle and mix and it's going to be just fine, as that ecumenical spirit is declaring these days. You know, we all serve the same God after all, right? You know, it doesn't much matter. Just so, you know, we all worship a being, so to speak. You know, whether we're, you know, Buddhists or Hindus or, you know, Muslims or, you know, Jews or anything. Boy. Taoist rather, and you know, wow, it just goes on and on. But the Lord knows how to gather His people. And there, as He was praying, oh yes, he saw us on the cross, didn't He? Oh yes, and that 17th chapter of John, Jesus, as He's praying before He was crucified, and the heavy burden of it all was upon Him. He prayed for those that the Father had given Him. He said, verse 15, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Praise the Lord. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then He says, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Oh yes, we're being holy. We've been sanctified unto God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. Oh, praise the Lord. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus, so beautifully giving his life for us, that we might have these wonderful privileges of full salvation, that we might be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And he was bringing it forth, the wonderful gospel. Oh yes, they were told to tarry until they be endued with power from on high. He told them that he would not leave them comfortless, but he was going to come unto them. Yes, he knew his time on earth was short. He knew that all very well, and he knew why he had come into the world. With his flesh, and he dreaded that moment. It wasn't easy for him to bear. But yet he knew that was why he had come into the world, that he might give his life, that we might be redeemed, that we might be saved, that we might be his children. Oh, yes, that we might be heirs of eternal life, and all granted that inheritance that is reserved for them that love him. Oh, what privileges we have. And praise the Lord. There on the day of Pentecost, that Holy Ghost was poured out. And, there it was as they were gathered together, and it was many of them. Approximately 120 were in that upper room. And it tells us very clearly in the first chapter of Acts that the apostles were there. They're all named, the 13 first. They came, they went into an upper room, it tells us, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. And then it tells us here in verse 14, what were they doing? Oh yes, there was a little bit of business that they had to take care of. And they did that. They had to find a replacement for Judas. But it tells us in verse 14, they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, making their requests unto God with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren, the brothers of Jesus, the natural brothers, all were there in that upper room. And they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. There they were. Oh, yes, not knowing how that Holy Ghost would be poured out. They didn't know exactly how it was going to happen, did they? But praise the Lord, it was the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? There, oh yes, as they were gathered together there in that place of worship, that house of prayer, there suddenly it tells us, yes, they were all with one accord in one place. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. That Comforter was coming into their hearts. That Spirit of truth that would lead and guide them in all truth. It came into their hearts, into their beings there on the day of Pentecost. And yes, you could tell. You could tell. Oh, yes. You could tell. They began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance, the Spirit of God speaking through them, the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ began to speak through them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there they were, oh yes, this house of prayer. Oh yes, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And it's a marvel because they were all noised abroad. The multitude came together, were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue? wherein we were born. Oh, yes, the Spirit of God coming to dwell within them. Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, Asia, Pergia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya beyond Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They are all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Of course, some were mocking. Oh yes, you've always got the mockers, seems to me, saying they're full of new wine, but we know how Peter stood up there with the 11. He lifted up his voice. Oh, yes, he'd been given the keys. He was no longer running away. He was no longer a coward. He was lifting up his voice and saying unto them, ye men of Judea, and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord, that Spirit of God, that prophecy from Joel, the second chapter, had now come to pass. That was what God had said he would pour out of his Spirit. And it was upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. It wasn't for one particular sector or gender or nationality. It was going to be poured out upon all flesh. Praise the Lord, yes, upon your sons and your daughters. They're going to prophesy. Oh, yes, they're going to see visions. They're going to dream dreams. And my servants and on my handmaidens, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. Praise the Lord, yes. Oh, that house of prayer that was for all people. Here was a gathering together of those that the Lord had called his elect, that he had chosen from the foundation of the world. And of course, it was going to go on. It wasn't just, you know, for the Jews and their proselytes. It wasn't for, you know, just those that were there at Pentecost. No, it went far beyond that, didn't it? Oh, yes, it began to spread. It went to Samaria, as we're told in the 8th chapter of Acts. And in the 10th chapter of Acts, we realize that, oh, yes, the Gentiles all begin to receive of the gift of the Holy Ghost. God being no respecter of person, oh yes, that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost coming to Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, it says, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. God came to him, told him exactly what to do, go get Peter, who was in Joppa. And so he did. And Peter came. Oh, and Peter had to be given that vision, you know, before he dared go. He didn't mingle and mix with Gentile people, but God was showing him something different. God was showing him, you know, I've got something that's going to be for all people. It's not just going to be for the Jews, but it's going to be poured up upon all flesh. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. And to Peter's amazement, as he was ministering here to Cornelius and his household. And I love the faith of this man. He obviously knew God to the best of his ability at that point, and had done everything that he could with his knowledge. But he didn't know Jesus. At that point, how could he? It had not been shown him. It had not yet been given to him. But here was Peter bringing the gospel to him. And, oh, Peter too, realizing that, you know, this gospel is not just reserved for one class of people or one race of people, one religious sect. He's beginning to see Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, verse 34. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Oh, yes, he begins to see that and understand that and begins to teach and preach Jesus to Cornelius and those that were with him in his house. And the beautiful thing happens as Peter was yet speaking to him, yet telling him about the Lord Jesus, the Holy Ghost fell on these Gentile people. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And what a beautiful thing that was. Oh, it says they of the circumcision, verse 45, which believed were astonished. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. Here is the promise of the Holy Ghost. Oh, was being given to the Gentile people. They were astonished, it tells us, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Oh, praise the Lord, that same Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost was now falling on the Gentile people. And Peter answered, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Oh, praise the Lord. The wonderful outpouring of his Spirit. Oh, the prophecy that the house of prayer would be for all people. Oh, yes, no restrictions on that at all. But the Lord bringing his body together as one people that would serve him, that would love him, that would worship him in spirit and in truth. Just looking at Galatians here for a moment. And wow, it's a lot that you could go through in these chapters here, but looking at the third chapter, he clearly says in verse 9, well, I think we better read verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. There was something beyond that. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. No person other than the Lord Jesus Christ was able to do be accepted under the law as far as it was written. They couldn't fulfill it. They couldn't live up to its standards. But Jesus Christ came, the Son of God, putting himself under his own law and kept it because he was redeeming us. Oh, he was redeeming us from that curse of the law. As it tells us in the 13th verse, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Jesus took that curse for us. Oh, yes, because there was something that the old covenant was not sufficient to take care of our sins. It was just, you know, partial in its effects, you know, year after year, to come again and again to bring that offering before the priest, the high priest, and you know, hope that it was accepted. But Jesus Christ came to this world. Oh yes, he hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, that new covenant in his blood. Oh, yes, that's what the Jewish people have missed. They didn't understand and recognize Jesus. They didn't embrace him, but they didn't receive him. And now they're looking for another Messiah. Now they're looking for another one that's going to come in his own name. And yet, he has come. He has come. He has redeemed us. He has set us free. Because that blessing that was from that was given to Abraham was predestined to come to the Gentile people too through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, the Holy Ghost baptism. Oh, yes, with a gift. Yeah, that gift that comes from God, that precious gift. Oh, yes, when he begins to take our unruly tongue, begins to speak through us, we speak forth in tongues. Yes, that gift of God comes into our very being, that Spirit that was in Jesus, that promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, praise the Lord. What blessings we've been given. Oh, yes, that we might come to him, because God, knowing that, you know, in due time, when the fullness of the time had come, oh, yes, he was going to come forth. He was going to come forth. Yes, that seed of Abraham, that seed of David, all the steps that had taken place to fulfill the scripture. Oh, he was going to come to this world that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even by him. Oh, what a gift we've been given. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And here we are tonight. You know, we can praise the Lord. We can worship the Lord. We can lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And that's how Paul, in his first epistle to Timothy, stated it. He said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Oh, yes, we can pray like that. You know, even David, you know, the psalmist says, you know, he was uttering his proclamations that the Lord gave him. He was saying in Psalms 141, let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as evening sacrifice. Tell you what, there's something that happens when we lift our hands up to the Lord. When you have holy hands, hands that have been given to God. Oh, yes. A life that's been freed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's something that happens. In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote and said that he would lift up his heart with his hands. Oh, yes. As he was seeing all the ugly things happening on his beloved Jerusalem and all Judea there as the Babylonians had come in and oh, demolished the place and oh, stormed it. And oh, yes, he had seen the ruination of all of that and you know, their violence and all the despiteful things they did to the inhabitants. Oh, he saw that. His heart was so heavy. Oh, yes. And he, you know, he was lamenting and mourning. And, oh, just, you know, so heavy in his heart. But yet, there was something he could do. He could lift up his heart with his hands. Oh, yes, because there's something about it. We can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. He's given us something. Oh, he's given us something great. And praise the Lord, we can gather together in a place that has been sanctified and truly doesn't have to be an edifice. It doesn't have to be a building. Wherever two or three are gathered together, God said, there I am in the midst of you. That could be your little sanctuary, wherever the presence of the Lord comes down and fills your heart and takes over your life. That's your little sanctuary. That becomes a house of prayer. Oh, praise the Lord. What a great and wonderful thing we have. What a privilege we have. But you know, these edifices, these places that have been, you know, established as houses of prayer, so often are nothing but blasphemy, a mockery of the gift of God, oh, the wonderful gift of salvation that He's given to us. Oh, why would you mock? Why would you ridicule? Why would you preach another gospel? Why would you bring all those abominable things into the house of the Lord? Oh, yes, you can't take something that's occultic and make it holy. You can't take one of their pagan days and make it holy. There's no way. That doesn't work with God. You know, let God be true and every man a liar. I'll tell you what is written is truth. What is written in this holy King James Bible is truth. And praise the Lord, it takes truth and spirit. It takes the two of them coming together. Oh, yes. And that need, oh, they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Oh, yes, there's no other way. If you try to climb up another way, you're a thief and a robber. Oh, yes, if you're preaching from the pulpit another gospel, you're a hireling. You know, it's not going to be enough. It's not going to get people into the kingdom of God. It's not. You're not going to get in yourself if that's what you're doing. But here we are. Wherever the Lord is, it's holy ground. It's sacred. It's precious. Oh, yes, because, oh, yes, if He's gathered us together, if He's put us together, oh, yes, and as we worship Him, we can be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We can be in His presence. We can know that He is here in our midst. Oh, yes, we can worship Him. We can lift up holy hands unto Him without wrath and without doubting. Oh, yes, because He's redeemed us. He's brought us here together that we might serve Him. Oh, yes, we might be edified, that we might be the temple of the Holy Ghost that comes to dwell in our very being. Oh, such as we are. Such as we are. You know, oh, what a privilege we have to come to the Lord Jesus. And what a need there is. He said His house shall be called a house of prayer. And praise the Lord, we're not here to be socializers. You know, we're not here to gather just, you know, to talk about this and that. You know, we're here to edify one another. We're here to grow in the Lord. We're here to hear the words of God. We're here to pray and seek the Lord. I'll tell you what, I long for those old times when people, after the preaching was preached, they came to the altar. They came to that place which was dedicated, or they bowed, you know, on their knees and cried out to the Lord. They sought the Lord. If they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they prayed. They sought God. We need those times. God has not changed. He is no respecter of persons. You know, if we needed the Holy Ghost 40 years ago, we still need it today. And how much the more as we see the day of God approaching, as we see the night coming upon us. Oh, yes. Oh, my. It's time. It's time for people to wake up out of their sleep and their lethargy. It's time to cast aside all the things that hinder us. All the things that are of the world. Oh, yes, the pleasures that don't bring us eternal inheritance, the things that separate us from the love of Christ. It's time, oh, yes, for people to turn, oh, yes, to that true spirit of travail and crying out. Oh, yes, that's what it takes to bring forth children. It takes travail. It takes time on your knees. It takes crying out to a living God. And, you know, He wants us to do it with all our hearts. I'll tell you, when Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, it was with all his heart. there, if just pondering here from the Book of Mark, I believe it's the 10th chapter. Here is this man, oh man. Jesus had gone through Jericho, and now he was going out of it, and he was with his disciples, and there was a great number of people with him. And here was this little blind man, oh, blind Bartimaeus. Somehow he heard that Jesus was passing by. Somehow he heard that Jesus was near. Somehow he had heard about Jesus. And it tells us there in the 10th chapter of Mark, oh, verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I don't think he was very quiet. It says many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, if people would just cry out. I'll tell you what, there's nothing more beautiful than somebody on their knees crying out to the living God, repenting and turning from the world and giving their life to the Lord. There's nothing more beautiful than that. There's nothing more beautiful than somebody worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, yes, crying out to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, you know that cry. Oh, that cry of blind Bartimaeus. It touched the very heart of Jesus Christ. It touched his heart. It says Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good cheer, or be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Oh, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And this man, making haste, I'm sure. He says, and he cast away his garment. Anything that would enter, I could get rid of it. And he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, praise the Lord, what faith will do. We'll just reach out to God in faith. When we just begin to claim His promises, what will faith do? Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Oh, yes, Jesus sees faith. Oh, yes, there's evidence of faith when it's in our heart. Oh, yes. And there's evidence of it. It's going to be apparent when somebody has faith. And yes, this man was crying out. Oh, I love it when there's people that will cry out. Oh, yes, I've heard some of you cry out. Oh, yes, I know. I remember some of those occasions when the Holy Ghost came down. And oh, yes, he began to speak with other tongues, but it wasn't very quiet. Oh, it wasn't very quiet. Oh, yes, when Brother Chong and Sister Sharon received the Holy Ghost the other month, it wasn't just too quiet there. Oh, praise the Lord as God began, to break forth and begin to speak in other tongues. Oh, my, it wasn't too quiet as Sunday, Vicki, when you received the Holy Ghost. I so remember that. Oh, yes, I remember when Jane and Anna received the Holy Ghost, and Diane, you were there, and Barb, you were there, and it wasn't any too quiet. No, we were lifting up our voices. Yes, this was a house of prayer. We're coming to the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. And he hears that. Oh, he hears those cries that come from the heart. Oh, yes, and this promise is unto you and to your children and to that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He's no respecter of persons. No, this Holy Ghost baptism wasn't just for the Jewish folks by any means, but God had intended and planned that it would be for all people, of all kindred, of all nations, of all races, of all background, that we all might come to Him and receive of His precious promises. Now, praise the Lord, this can be a house of prayer. This is a place where we give our lives to the Lord. And you know, why else would we come here other than to find the Lord in a deeper way? Oh, God forbid that this would be a social club. Oh, God forbid that we'd come here just to talk to Sally or Barbara or, you know, Bobby Joe or whoever all. You know, God forbid. We come here to find the Lord. We come here to seek the Lord. We come here to praise the Lord. We come here to grow in the Lord Jesus. Oh, let this be a house of prayer. Let this be a place where the sinner can find the Lord Jesus, where he can repent of his sins, he or she, and come to the living God. Yes, let this be a place. Oh, God, let it be. But this is a house of prayer. Oh, yes, not a den of thieves, but a place, oh, yes, where we can grow deeper, oh, yes, in the Word of God, where we can grow deeper, where we can find Him, where we can pour out our soul. Listen, what else is going to matter but that we know the Lord, that we're living lives that are clean and pure and holy? We've been filled with the Holy Ghost. What else is going to matter? No, let this be a house of prayer. Place where we come. We forget about everything else. What else matters? I'm going to cry. I don't care who hears me. You know, you lose your reserve. Lose all those restraints, all those funny things that hold you down. And oh, yes, let it come out of your soul and being. Oh, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, yes, that we could hear that cry. That cry would come from our heart, that this would be a house of prayer for all people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. We have so much to praise Him for. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, those cries that come from the heart as we seek the Lord, the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just pray, oh God, that You would stir our hearts. Oh God, I pray that You'd stir us, oh God, inside, outside. Oh Lord, in every way, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that we could truly be Your temple, Lord, that we could be truly filled with the Holy Ghost. And oh God, that You would, oh God, turn our lives around, oh Lord, so we have that burden deep within, that travail of the soul, Lord, to do Your will and to be acceptable in Your sight. Oh God, bring us to You, Lord. God, bring us to that place. Oh God, restore those things that are lost. Oh God, bring us to that place, Lord. Oh God, where You are number one in our hearts, oh Lord. Oh God, our Lord and our God and our Savior. Oh Lord, that we're fully dedicated to You, Lord. And this is a house of prayer. Oh God, I ask that You'd help us. In the name of Jesus, oh God, by the power of the blood. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord. If you can find your melodies of praise hymn, we're going to close tonight with number 191, Old Time Power.
They were all with one accord.
it as was promised by our Lord. Oh Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone. Yes, this power from heaven descended with the sound of rushing wind. Tongues of fire came down upon them as the Lord said he would send. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Baptize everyone.